Again, good morning. It is good to be in God's house. I'm going to ask you to open your Bible to Mark chapter 12. So, yeah, I was up late with you last night watching the game, and then it happened at about 5 this morning. I was laying in bed, and again, I stayed up later than I normally do on a Saturday night. But it was me talking with the Lord because I knew the Lord was saying, I need you to rewrite some things. So I got up this morning and began rewriting. Last week, we started looking at the topic of giving. And again, some of you, you're like, whoo, glad I missed that one. Because again, it is the third rail for preachers. Don't talk about tithing and giving because you're going to be stepping on people's toes and they don't want to hear about that. I know there are some churches that say, we don't even deal with that on Sunday morning. No way we're going to do that because it turns people off. And I've got news for you. If you are going to go to a church where there is a Bible preaching pastor, he is going to talk about money because God's Word talks about money. And so I've got bad news and worse news and the worst news. The bad news is if you missed last week, it's online now and you can go back and hear it. The worst news is, I'm going to review in a nutshell what I talked about anyway, so you're going to hear it that way. And the absolute worst news is, I'm going to continue the topic today. So, it's going to happen. We're going to talk about what is it to give. It is the third rail for preachers. It's okay for us to talk about heaven and hell. Actually, today, a lot of people don't want you to talk about hell anymore. Can't talk about that. That worries people. It scares people. What's interesting is Christ had more to say about hell than he did heaven. It's okay for us to talk about the birth and the resurrection. After all, we have Christmas and Easter. We get holidays around that. You can even preach on the Ten Commandments. After all, Paul, our children need to hear such things as honor your father and your mother. They need to know that thou shalt not lie and steal and kill. We want our kids to be moral, so preach about those things. Maybe don't hit so much on the whole coveting thing because then that's talking about money again. We don't want to go there. You know, Pastor, I work hard for my money. I'm not really sure you're qualified to tell me where to spend it, what to do with it. As I said last week, I am not going to tell you. I am not going to tell you what to do with your money. But we are going to look at God's Word. We're going to see what the Lord has to say. So last week we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 14, and let me just quickly go over this, and I do mean quickly because there's a lot to cover today. We talked about the fact that they did give, they tithe to support the Levites and the priest. Those were the ones that ministered to them. And by the way, we already put to bed the fact that you can't debate whether or not we are commanded to tithe in the Old Testament. It clearly says, thou shalt tithe. So they were to give to support the Levites and the priest. Let me tell you something. There's no way this church can go forward. There's no way that I can continue to be a full-time minister. There's no way that we can call other full-time ministers. There's no way we can build the buildings. There's no way we can have the Sunday school materials. There's no way we can have all the children's materials that we need, all the stuff that we do for the youth group. There's no way we can do all that unless you give. That's just the way it is. And by the way, they were to give of their first fruits to the Levites and the priests, and by the way, they were also supposed to tithe on what was given to them. I will tell you that as you give, I am paid through this church, I tithe on what I am paid. I don't just keep it for myself. But not only were we to support the priests and the Levites, they were told to do that, they were also to support the orphans, the widows, and the sojourners. These were the people that could fall through the cracks. You see, when you give to ministers, the ministers do give back to you. We minister to you. You do get back from us. I hope you feel that way anyway. But when you talk about the orphans and the widows and the sojourners, you are giving to people who cannot give back to you. They have nothing to give back. So we must give to those who can give nothing back. But the one thing that actually surprised, I think, a lot of people, including myself as I began to study, not only are you to give for the support of the ministry, not only are you to give to the widows and the orphans and the sojourners, you are to give to yourself. They were commanded to give to themselves. If you go back and look at Deuteronomy 14, he tells them, take a tenth, take a tithe, and when you get that tithe, go to Jerusalem, and when you get there, this is what he says, spend the money on whatever you desire, oxen or sheep or wine or strong drink, whatever your appetite craves, and you shall eat it there before the Lord your God and rejoice, you and your household. So he's telling them, I want you to break your routine. You are working day after day after day after day, and you're supporting your family, but I want you to break that routine. I want you to stop. I want you to take a tenth of that, and I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I'll just put it this way, go on vacation. Stop. But he says, don't only do this because I'm telling you to do this so that you will fear the Lord. And I reminded you, as I began to read through that and read commentary, I looked for application. What does that mean today? And I shared with you that, and the best way I can describe it is, day after day when I get up and go to work, and I get in my car and I fight, just like you do, Westlake Houston traffic. Love it. Love it. I'm so glad they put the lights in. Not. No. Even though, especially when I have my girls, even though we get up before the sun does, I never step outside and take a picture of the sunrise. And yet, when I'm on vacation, I find myself taking pictures of the sunrise and the sunset. I find myself sitting on the beach looking at the vast expanse of the Gulf of Mexico going, I am small. I am nothing. Look what the Lord allows me to do. Look what the Lord has provided for me. And I find myself in awe of the Lord. But we're going to continue to look at giving back to God. And we're going to look at a story that many of you are familiar. If you're a Sunday school teacher and you've taught children, you've taught this story. And it's known as the widow's mite. The widow's mite. So I'm going to pray before we read God's word. We're in Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 41. Let me pray and then let's dive into this passage. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we get to hold it in our hand, that we get to read it. It's in our language, that we get to comprehend it, that you've given us intelligence to do that, that, Lord, you have put wise men before us who have studied this and written in a way to and commented on it so that we could understand it better. Lord, I pray that we would not just read these words and think lofty thoughts, but Lord, we would read these words. And Lord, through your grace and your strength, our lives would be changed. That Lord, we would walk out of here saying we need to be different people because the Lord is telling us. And we want to follow the Lord. Lord, I pray that you would honor the reading and the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray that you would honor the listening and the processing of your word. Lord, I love you, and it's in Jesus' name that I ask these things. Amen. Would you please stand as we honor the reading of God's word? Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 41. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who were contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Would you please be seated? I want to go ahead and preface this again that some of you are going, I've been in church my whole life. I already know what you're going to say, Pastor. You're going to tell us that we need to tithe. You're going to tell us that we need to take 10%. You're probably going to tell us that we need to look at our gross pay and tithe off of that. And right now, already, you're beginning to zone out. You're beginning to say, I've heard it. And I want to say again that I'm not going to tell you what to give. Because if I've learned anything over the past several years, it's this. And the elders, we have said this many times. You can't make someone do what they don't want to do. You can't. If you walk out of here and you decide, I'm not doing that, I don't want to hear it, Paul. It's my money, and I'm going to do what I want to with it. I don't want to hear this. I've got news for you. That's between you and the Lord. It's not between me and you. But I cannot avoid this topic just because it makes you or me feel uncomfortable. So I will unashamedly say that I was reading another pastor's sermon about tithing, and I want to start out the same way. He was reading through the book of 2 Corinthians. And Paul is writing to this church that he started, and he planted this church. He loves this church. And you know we have two letters, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. But there were other letters that were written. That's evidenced by what is written in these two books. But he's going there, and he doesn't want to be a financial burden on the people there in the church. And he writes this, "For I seek not what is yours, but you." I seek not what is yours. I'm not looking for what you have, for your possessions. I'm seeking you. "For children are not obligated to save up for their parents, but parents for their children." And you know this. I mean, no adult in here is going, "Yeah, I'm hoping my youngest one will get a job here soon because, man, I know she's got to go to school, but I really need her income. I'm not counting on Kelsey to support my household. That's not going to happen. I love you, but you're not going to do that." But instead, he says, it's the parents who do this. And so he's going, look, he is the parent of this church. He's the one who started this church. But he's saying, I'm not coming there seeking what you own. I'm not coming there seeking what is yours. I'm coming there seeking you. And so let me tell you right now that if you believe that a pastor speaks about money because he seeks what is yours, then change churches. Turn off that podcast. Change the channel. Because I got news for you. The Lord seeks you. Well, I thought you were going to talk about giving. I am. But if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have never given up the lordship of your life, if you haven't given that away and profess faith in Jesus Christ, you can write a huge check today, put it in the offering plate, and even tell friends that, oh yes, because I gave to Summer Creek Baptist Church, they were able to launch their new building campaign, and they added some new parking, and they even brought on another staff member. I wrote this check, but I've got news for you. You are no closer saved than the moment you sign that check. Do you really think that the Lord is primarily interested in your money? And if you think that, why? Why would you think that? Let me ask this another way. Why would you presume that the Lord needs anything from you or from me? If we really think that, we're no better than the Israelites who thought that God was primarily interested in their offerings. That he somehow needed them to take a lamb and slaughter it and burn it. That somehow God needed that. And listen to what God has to say about that. "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field, it's mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine." If you really believe that God is interested in what you and I have to give, if that's his primary focus is what is ours, I'm telling you, he seeks not what is yours, but you. He seeks you. Am I to presume that the Lord really needs what piddly money I can give him? My girls make fun of me because on Friday nights, and I'm a nerd in this area, I record Gold Rush on Discovery Channel. I know, it's horrible. it's nothing but men with big machines digging in the ground looking for gold. I don't know what else to say. Matter of fact, I told Kaylee the other night, I was like, oh, I fell asleep and during Gold Rush, and I woke up at like 3 in the morning, the TV was on, and she goes, because it's boring, Dad. I immediately looked at her and said, get thee behind me, Satan. But you watch these men, and I find it interesting anyway. They find all these ounces of gold, and they pour it up. And that's the, you know, at the end of the show, they pour up what they have found. And last season, it came to be millions of dollars. But God owns it all. All the gold they found, all the gold that they didn't find. And if he wants more, he'll just make more tomorrow. He doesn't need our piddly offering. It's almost like, again, that the people thought, the Jews really thought that that the point of circumcision was a procedure done on the eighth day. That was the point, was just to circumcise that male child, and then, guess what? Now we're one of God's people. And look what God says in Deuteronomy chapter 10. It says, and now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, the Lord your God belongs heaven and the heaven of heavens and the earth and all that is in it. Now listen, he's saying, I own it all. I own the heavens, I own the heaven of heavens, I own the earth and everything in it. And look what he says. Yet the Lord sets his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples as you are this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. He's not interested in that particular practice. It is pointing to he wants them. He wants their heart. So I want you to know, before you ever turn me or tune me out, oh, here he is talking about giving. This is about what God wants us. He wants you. He wants you. The Lord seeks not what is yours but you. And listen to me, when you are his and he is yours, the giving is not a drudge. It's a desire. Well, Paul, what do you do with the fact that all of them are giving? You caught that, right? I mean, there's rich people giving, and then here's this poor woman giving. So what's the difference? Well, unlike me, and I've made this known to everyone who goes to this church, I don't know what any of you give. I don't look at the offering. The elders don't call me in and say, like, hey, let's look at the checks. Let's see what we had coming in. I know the total amount, but I don't know what you as individuals give. But isn't it interesting? Jesus, unlike me, is sitting there watching. He's watching. It says he sat down opposite of the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. And clearly, he's not impressed with the large amounts. He's not. He says, because they gave out of their abundance. But when it came to this widow's offering, look at Jesus' reaction. I mean, think about this. He's sitting there just watching. And all of a sudden, this widow comes out and puts in these two piddly little coins. And it's at that point that Jesus goes, hey, come here. And he's getting the disciples, come here. Hey. I want to point something out to you. Truly, I say to you, and when you see that in Scripture, it's Jesus saying, I need you to listen to what I'm saying. Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all. There wasn't one person who came up there and just dumped a whole thing of gold coins. He goes, oh yeah, she gave more than him. Oh, no. She gave more than all of them combined. All of those who are contributing to the offering. And by the way, the apostles are not stupid. They can do math. You remember that one of them was a tax collector. He knew how to handle money. He knew how to cheat people out of money. He knew about money. So it's not like they're clueless and Jesus needs to tell them, hey, that's less than all that other. They get it. But he says this about her offering. She, out of her poverty, has put everything that she had, all that she had to live on. So if you don't see what's going on here, let me help you out. God is not impressed that on the eighth day, male infants were circumcised. It was commanded and it was obedience. But that's not what he desired. He desired a circumcised heart. He tells us that. God was not impressed with burnt offerings day and night. He said, your offerings are always before me. It was commanded and they were being obedient. But what he desired was a repentant people. God is not impressed with the act of giving. Because ultimately, giving is a heart issue, not a financial issue. Giving is a heart issue, not a financial issue. I'm going to just go ahead and help you out. If you leave here today and you're going, I want to see where it talks about tithing in the New Testament. I want to see where Jesus told us to tithe. Let me just say this right now. It's not there. Don't go home and get on Bible Gateway and do a word search in the New Testament and say, let's see where Jesus said, thou shalt tithe. I'm going to save you that time right now. It's not there. I'm going to save you some other time. Don't go home and get on Bible Gateway and say, now let me see where Jesus said it's not important to tithe. That's not there either. That's just not there. But I will say this again. If you're not giving to your church, please don't proclaim that you love your church. If you're not giving to your church, don't go out there and say, oh, but I love that church, but I'm not doing anything to support it. If you're not giving to help orphans and widows or sojourners, please do not say that you care for the least of these. Don't. If you're not giving in order to stop and enjoy and recognize how God has been so good to you, please don't wonder why you're not in awe of Him. But listen to me, even if you are giving, if you're going, Paul, I am giving off of my gross, even if you're doing all of that, giving is not the means to being right with the Lord. A giving heart is the result of an encounter with God. It's not a means to get to God. It's not a means, it's a result. As a matter of fact, if you're not aware of this, in Matthew chapter 23, in one of the woes to the Pharisees, and some of you know this, Jesus says this, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you also have done without neglecting the others. So here are people, they are tithing on everything. They have these little herbs, and they're going, okay, that's one herb, two herbs, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Oh, nope, that's tithe. They're tithing on these puny things. It would be like you and I walking down the street, and we look down and we see a quarter, and we go, oh, yeah, quarter. I'm going to throw this in the offering plate. That's how particular they were being about making sure they were tithing. And he says, but you've forgotten love and justice and mercy. And notice what he says. He doesn't say, see, you should have done this and forgotten about the tithe. No, 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 no. What he says is, you should have been doing this while you were tithing. He doesn't say, don't worry about the tithe. But the problem with the Pharisees was not the fact, I mean, they were tithing. It was a heart issue, though. Because giving is a heart issue. It's not a financial issue. They were doing everything they were supposed to do financially, but their hearts were far from God. And here's this woman who gives. If you're upset with me right now for preaching on this issue, that's a heart issue. That's a heart issue. It's not a financial issue. And the deal is we have forgotten how blessed we are. I mean, I don't know your financial situation in this room. I don't know any of your financial situation except for us three right here. And teenagers, if you were here Wednesday night, you'll remember this. But we, because we're not stopping and we're not thinking, we're not in awe of the Lord and what He's done for us, we really think, well, Paul, you just don't know. I'm not rich. So I did this Wednesday night for our teenagers to see. I put my salary into a worldwide financial counter, if you will, to see where I stood financially on the world scale. You ready for this? Only 7.8% of the world is richer than I. Actually, I just told you something that's not true. That's minimum wage in America. If you're making minimum wage in America, that's where you rank on a world scale in riches. We are rich. Amen? We are rich. I don't know what it is to wake up and not have a meal. I don't know what it is to not know where clean water is. I just turn on. I was telling the teenagers, I mean, when you start your shower, what do you begin to do? You turn it on and you waste water as you're waiting for it to get hot, to get to your temperature. I think my kids watch a movie from the time they turn on the shower, they get in there. I can't give, Paul. I'm not rich like other people. We are rich. We are rich. Clearly, the woman financially could not tithe. But her heart, it's a heart issue, and she could. She could give. We are rich. I did put in my salary, by the way. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it came up 0.16 of this world is richer than me. 0.16. You know, we love to talk in America, oh yeah, the one percenters. We are the one percenters of the world. We are. So what do we do with that? When you look at the widow, all I can say is this: self-denying. Self-denial should exist in our giving. Self-denial. She clearly denies self. She trusts in the Lord to provide for her. She gave everything that she had. And again, I'm not going to tell you to give 10%. I'm not going to tell you, oh yeah, if you'll just look at your gross. And by the way, I have been in that sermon. I've been in that sermon where it's been, you know, you need to look at your salary, you need to go to your gross, and that's what you ought to be tithing off of, because that's the first fruits, and that's what you ought to give to God, and that's the amount that you should give. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not. But when I look at the New Testament, I don't see tithing as the standard. I see something much greater. For instance, in Luke 3, John the Baptist is preaching, and here's what he says. Whoever has two tunics, share with the one who doesn't have one. That's 50%. By the way, whoever has food, share with the one who doesn't have any. Zacchaeus, you remember when he came to know Christ? You remember Zacchaeus? You remember the song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Climbed up the sycamore tree. Jesus said, you come down from there. I'm not going to sing it to you. It's a new worship song we need. Do you remember what he gave back? You remember? He gave everything back that he had cheated, but what did he give to the poor? Do you remember? 50%. The rich young man approaches Christ. I want to follow you. What does Jesus tell him to do? Go give 10%? Nope. Give it all away. Then come follow me. It's 100%. Do you remember when that happened? Peter goes to Christ and he goes, look, we gave up everything to follow you. And he says, right, you did. And your reward is in heaven. You remember the New Testament church? It says that they sold their possessions and their goods and they distributed it among the church, so there was not a needy person in the church. Not one. So you tell me. I'm not going to tell you to tithe. You tell me what the percentage is. Well, Paul, are you living on half your salary? Nope. What's a shame is in the church today, we'll hear questions like, well, do I have to give 10%? Do I have to tithe? We get to give. You tell me, how do we justify? How do we justify getting more and more comfort while the church struggles? Why do we get more and more comfort as widows and orphans and sojourners have nothing? Let me tell you something. We've got to quit comforting ourselves, because when the offering plate comes by, we look and we go, oh yeah, okay, I got a five, and throw it in there, and we go, oh yeah, there we go. No, no, no. You're just giving in your abundance. There's nothing sacrificial. There's nothing self-denial about that. And by the way, and I'll take it outside the church, we got to quit patting ourselves on the back going, I'm helping the poor, because you pull up at a stoplight and some guy's there and he's got a container to put a, and you reach in there and you grab a dollar bill and you're going, see, I'm helping the poor. You're just giving out of your abundance. You just happen to have some spare change that you're not using, which, by the way, will most likely find its way in between your console and your front seat. There's no plan in that. There's no desire. There's no, I am going to deny myself something so that I can give. And yet, Christ made it very clearly. If you're going to follow me, do what? Deny self. So this week, I have an assignment for you. And this is for the adults. Teenagers, don't worry. You've already got your assignment, and you're having another one that's coming up Wednesday. Because next week, I'm going to put the challenge before you. This week is easy. It's just talking. So if you have a pen, paper, you might want to write these questions down. Number one, talk with your spouse. And I want you to talk to them about how much you've been given, how much y'all have been given. And as you sit at your table, or maybe you're both just sitting up in your comfortable bed, you see where I'm going with this. And maybe we are in one of those 2 or 3 days that it's chilly in Houston and the heater's on. Or like the rest of the year, the AC is on. And begin thinking through how rich we are. Homes and cars, AC and heat, clean running water. Not just food for today, but if you're like me, I mean, my girls go and open and stand in front of a pantry where they decide not what will sustain them, but what fits their taste at that moment. And by the way, I'm just as guilty. And what do we as parents get on to our kids about? They go to the refrigerator, open it up, and stand there, knowing that we're paying the bill as all that cold air goes out. And they're trying to figure out, which cold drink do I want at this particular time in my life? So after you do that, this is the first of one question. How much have we been given? This is the second part of that question. Why are we not giving much? Why? And maybe you are. I'm telling you, these are not just questions for you. These are questions for me. Second question. Are we giving to support our church, the least of these, and to ourselves in order that we might fear the Lord? So those are the points from last week. Are you doing those things? And if you're not, how do you begin setting up a plan to do those things? Third question. Where's our heart? Did Paul just tick us off today? And if so, why? Why would you be upset that the obvious is being pointed out? We're rich. And the fourth one. So the third one is, where is our heart? Did the message make us upset? Maybe it convicted you. I don't know. But why do you feel the way that you feel? If you're upset, if you're angry, then there's a real heart problem there. Again, that's a heart issue, not a financial issue. If you're convicted, that's where you want to be. Because that means the Lord is working on your heart. I'm convicted about this. I know the Lord is telling me, Paul, I want you to make some changes. And do you know what my sinful self wants to do? Rebel against that. I shared with the elders just a week ago that I know the Lord is bringing some changes in my life, some areas that He is convicting me, and I told them I am resistant to those changes. I really like just being set in my ways. Fourth question. This is a tough one. Where are we denying self in our giving? Is there any area of your life that you're going, I want to do this, or I want to have this, but I'm not. I'm not going to, because that is money, that is time, that is energy that I can give somewhere else. So the question has to be asked, why are we reluctant to even give 10% while we comfort ourselves with 90%? Where is the self-denial in serving God? The Lord who denied self, Himself, and gave us all. Are we greater than Him? I really didn't expect a lot of amens this morning. But I do want us to look at our life as rich people. And those are just the questions. The challenge comes next week. I do want to, and I couldn't fit it all in. I know I'm already running over time. But the Thanksgiving drive is up on November 1st, correct? So I'm ashamed that I haven't done anything about it. And yet my family, you know what we're doing? We're already planning how our big meal is going to happen. We're already making plans for that Thanksgiving day, and yet I've done nothing to help. So yes, that challenge is going to be put before you right now. We are so rich. Those bins ought to be overflowing. They ought to be saying, look, I know we identified these families, but we've got so much more that who else can we help? So if you don't mind, I'll put one challenge before you right now. I know for me to take my family, when we were a family of five, for me to go eat at Chick-fil-A, if you will, $35-$40, just like that. As you can see at my present girth, I'm fine to not have a meal. Perhaps the challenge for us is, and this doesn't necessarily even have to be your kids. Maybe it's just you as adults. I know some of you have young kids, very small kids, and they need that meal. I don't. Perhaps the challenge is skip the meal. Take that $40. Find the items that are needed. And spend that money there and deny myself that meal because I will be just fine. And I'm going to even give you a way out. Even if you deny yourself that meal, guess what? If you get hungry late at night, there's probably popcorn in your pantry. So yes, I'm putting it before you. Is there any way that can be extended till next Sunday?
Yes.
Okay. So by next Sunday, there's no reason Are you going to judge us? Yeah, I am. No. There's no reason that Amanda shouldn't be going, I need help getting this to the school. Adults, you know, even if you left your kids out, if y'all went to a steak place, you're $40 in just for the couple. Easily. Just deny yourself a meal. And give to those that if we don't do this, I know it's just one meal, but they have no Thanksgiving meal. And if your family is like mine, and I venture to say it is, you'll be throwing food away Thanksgiving Day. Or you'll be putting it in a Tupperware thing that you discover a month later. So there's your first challenge. How about that we as a church deny self for just one meal so that we can give? Because you may be going, I'm so strapped. There's no way, Paul. I'm not there yet. I've got a plan to get there. But there is something immediately that you can do right now. Just deny yourself one meal over the next 7 days. Take that money, buy whatever is on that list, and bring it up here. And let's send that to those families that are poor. Can we not do that? So as we close today, I hope you are challenged. If you're angry, you really need to ask yourself, where's my heart right now? And if you're convicted, you need to be going, thank you, Lord, because you're working with me. You're molding me and you're making me and you're changing me in the way that you want me to be. Thank you. I don't like it, but thank you. But ultimately, listen to me. Look right here. He's not seeking what is yours. He's seeking you. He's seeking you. He came and died on the cross and rose 3 days later, not for your money, for you. So what will you do this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you don't and you're going, Pastor, I've got some questions, then come on up, let me pray with you, and then we'll set a time that we'll sit down and I will do the best I can to answer your questions. And by the way, this is where we're going to look for the answers. And maybe this morning you need to grab your spouse and you need to go, we got to talk about this. Let's go pray. But later we're sitting down and we're talking. We're going to go through these questions. You can text or email me. You can even ask one of the youth, where in the world did you find that calculator? I want to see where my salary, be ready because it'll shock you. Several of the adults that were in here were going, oh my word, we're rich. And maybe it's time for you to start giving. Maybe it's time for us to give up comforts. We have more than we need, and we ought to give to those who need more than they have. So I'm going to pray. Daniel's going to come up and lead us in song. But this is your opportunity to respond to the Lord this morning. This is your opportunity to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to be resistant to this because I'm so used to every penny I get is for me. But I want to follow you, and I want to know what it is to deny self, to follow you. So, Lord, I admit I'm going to resist this, but I want you to lead me, and I want to follow. So maybe you need to come and pray. I'll pray with you, but you do what the Lord is telling you to do this morning. Do what He's telling you to do. Let's pray, church.